Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Welcome, Laszlo Borina. Laszlo, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Laszlo, you have been so on this. You've been trashed. You were a pinata for the Bears. You said, we see the markets moving higher. Now what is we're here where we were 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, you know, we still think we're in a protracted bull market. This is bull markets have, in our work, they show four distinct legs, and we're in the fourth leg, which is the where you get some really good moves. In three of the five bull markets to which we compare this one, three of those you had a 20% year in the last leg. So we think there's that possibility here, and if not, we're still going to have a very good market.
Where do you treat the VIX? The VIX is a unique thing. Spot VIX, the one we quote, folks, 14.01, is doing funny things versus the forward view of VIX. How does Borina Associates fold the VIX and volatility into your optimism?
We don't. We did a, 15-page study on the VIX about 2 years ago, and we looked at the headlines and the stories, and what we found is the VIX is really not very useful. There was one story literally the first week in March of 2009, which said the VIX was projecting two more years of decline.
Yeah.
So we've just found the VIX is just another one of those things that creates a lot of noise.
We're going to do the jobs report, folks, on Friday. We'll go beneath the headline data at 8:30. Michael McKee, I would respectfully suggest what you just heard from Mr. Borina is the single most important thing you're going to hear in the month of March here at Bloomberg Surveillance. We quote the VIX, folks, because there's incredible demand for the perspective we can bring on VIX dynamics. But all the research, like including out of UMass Amherst, I might point out, shows that Borina is dead on about this linkage.
The VIX? What's the VIX?
The VIX is volatility, and everybody quotes it like it's gospel, and Laszlo's 100% correct.
Laszlo, you look at, you do this research, marvelous research, looking at the past and disabusing us of some of the notions we hold. But I'm wondering how much the research tells you about a time period like this in which markets and prices are so distorted by central banks?
We've always said sentiment is such a critical issue. And the real sentiment is found from reading the newspapers, from looking at headlines. The polls and the usual measures are really not very cute. And so what we do is, and again, if we look at the historical, we did a study a few years ago. It was three volumes on market cycles. And we found that there's some very strong tendencies and trends. And nothing has worked better in this market than looking at historical markets of similar nature in their lengths and some of their characteristics. The secondary characteristics, such as the fundamentals and so forth, they're always different. There's always, it's been suggested that the market rhymes, attributed to Mark Twain, but we never found that to be the case. But we just find that the historical patterns and the psychology, and we're at that point in the market, we think, and this is what we've been saying, where people are now starting to realize that, it is a bull market. You know, it's not going to come back. You've missed the train, and train still has a long way to go, but you better get on it.
Laszlo, you've got some great work. I don't want to front run your global clientele. You're going to report on this in March, but you really go after people saying the public's always wrong. You've got great 1974 and 1982 perspective. Right now, the public, I'm told, isn't in equities. Is that true?
It's not quite as true as people think. They're not in mutual funds, but you know, lost a lot of ETF buying last year. And you are starting to see some money coming in mutual funds. It's been well documented. But people should also note that they're not really giving up on bonds either. So this is by no means a 90-degree turn. They're parlaying their bets, if you will. But we are seeing money coming in mutual funds, and we don't think it's necessarily bad.
What is the sector analysis right now, Laszlo? Can you be in the banks? What a pop off the abyss last year. Which sector is most attractive to Laszlo Borina?
Well, we know a lot more at stocks. Because I think that's the greatest inefficiency. And if I'm looking at stocks, I'm looking more at the cyclicals, things like energy, technology, capital goods and materials. We think the banks may have run their course. They've done very, very well. But I think they're sort of looking for them as sources of funds. But I think these strong economic stocks are where we're finding ways to play the market. I mean, the greatest last example of this, for example, was Salesforce. You know, Salesforce came out with some great numbers the other day and it was up about $15. And so, again, on a stock picking basis, that's where we start.
Do you look at what other people are doing when there are big moves in something and try to figure it out, or just stay away from it?
No, I mean, we still look at money flows. They're not as acute and as valuable as they were 15 years ago, but they can still give you some ideas. But what we try to do is understand the strong moves, the moves we don't understand. If stock is going up, then we usually know why. What we're looking for is a stock that might not be moving. I mean, one example of that right now is Boeing. Boeing should be going down. They're in the defense business.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of problems with a new airplane. And yet the stock is strong.
What does that tell you? You get on board?
That's the kind of thing that tells me the market thinks that there's not an issue.
What do we get wrong about our new technology that allows for high-frequency trading?
I think there's some... So first of all, it's defended on the basis of trading is cheaper. We're told that trading costs have sunk dramatically since we do high-frequency trading. Well, as you know, I sat on the trading desk with Salomon Brothers for 15 years, and I know a little bit, I'd like to think I know a little bit about trading. And when I see that over $10 billion in rebates is going to high-frequency trading from exchange funds, and when I read about the fact that brokerage firms make money on 96% of the days, and customers are coming out ahead of this, I can't make that equation work. So the whole idea that trading costs is lower, I think the whole basis is ill-founded. And we're also told that high-frequency trading provides liquidity. Well, we had a period in February, about 8 or 10 days, where we had very, very little volatility because we had very, very little high-frequency trading. And yet, you know, the market didn't have any issues. And I'm very concerned about the things that happened as a result of high-frequency trading. Bad trades, trades which are at the edge in terms of legality. And I don't think it benefits anybody. Except the high-frequency traders.
Well, there's a theme right now that it's not benefiting even them.
So let's hope that continues.
Leon Cooperman's been out front on this. Others as well. What is the action you'd like to see? Who do you turn to as an institution to begin to straighten out what we've seen the last 5 years or so?
I think the SEC should go back and reconsider. I argued 8-10 years ago, we started to go down the path of electronic trading or whatever, that we were making a lot of assumptions based on a lot of ifs that I felt were not going to happen. One criticism I made was that we were going into a world of electronic trading thinking that it was all going to work out real well without realizing that London had done the same thing 3 or 4 years prior. So we had a case study that we could have looked at, and we didn't.
Yeah.
And we listened to people who had a vested interest or an agenda to provide data and input, many of whom were academics, which had ties,
right,
which were not necessarily transparent.
I got bad news. I bought Apple at $695. The really bad news is Michael McKee bought it at $700. So, Laszlo, we've got to get your thoughts on this most interesting rollover in Apple. Can you own shares of Apple this morning?
We have been lightening our position. We have been wrong. You know, we like other people, face the dilemma of having some Apple, some very, very low costs, and we still have huge gains, but it's been painful. We've been wrong, and I have never seen the stock do what it does with its fundamentals. We've seen stocks go down 60-70%,
right.
But that's because they start off at 80 times earnings, or the miracle drug didn't work or something. But for, I've never seen a company where the business is still intact, the margins are still good, they're still making money. I think that what it is really is we have, whatever everyone talks about the great rotation is not bonds in the stocks, it's Apple in the stocks.
Laszlo, I've got to talk to you, lastly, the first time we've talked to you since the passing of Martin Zweig. I would suggest that Mr. Zweig had a very different approach to you, to equity markets, but both of you really paid a lot of attention to trend. What did you learn from Marty Zweig?
I still came in a little bit differently. I came in from a bottoms up. My approach has always been to really understand the issue and take all the data and background. One thing I think Marty and I both had in common was that we really looked at the market a whole lot. And we realized that the critical issue was what was going on in the marketplace, not what was going on in the dialogue away from the market. And I think that's one of the big changes in the last 5, 10, 15 years, where we have ideas outside the market instead of asking what's going on in the market.
Laszlo Brina, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.